Hello. Thank you for listening to the sermon for Sunday, April 19th. Just before I begin, I'd like to make a couple of announcements. First, just want to let you know that the church office is still open from Tuesdays to Fridays. Don and I are usually in our office, so feel free to swing by if you need some prayer or just to check your mailbox, or you can use the debit machine again to give. We'd love to see you. Second, we are looking for a volunteer to join a planning group to coordinate our church's involvement in helping Peter and Leah Humphreys. They are missionaries with Ethnos Canada, and their house in Ontario is in need of some improvements. So if you're interested in helping to coordinate our church's involvement in that, please contact Marcus Rule. You can reach him by phone at 780-841-6105. You can check out our church's Facebook page for some more details. Well, just over a year ago, Sarah, who's my wife, and I flew from Ontario to come and candidate here. And on the Sunday that I candidating, I preached from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. I was looking over that sermon and I realized that 2 Corinthians 1, verses 1 to 11 is just the right passage for our present circumstances. I believe that this passage is a word from God that we need to hear today. I believe we need to hear it because 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 to 11 contains God's emergency instructions. And right now, all of us are in the middle of an emergency. You know, what's the emergency? Well, it's the pandemic. But the pandemic is actually only the baseline. I suspect that many of us were already and continue to deal with individual emergencies or individual crises on top of this pandemic. So this pandemic actually just makes our individual crises that much worse. I know that some of us have parents whose health isn't great, and we're more concerned about them in this pandemic. Some of us have broken relationships that are causing stress, and it's even more stressful because of this pandemic. Others of us wrestle with mental health issues, and this time of physical distancing and isolation is wreaking havoc. Some of us simply have time to be idle, and that idleness itself is causing our emergencies because idle hands are the devil's playground. But it's hard to keep busy when you can't go anywhere, do anything, or see anyone. All of us are in the middle of a crisis. And I suspect all of us can agree that we're carrying a heavier load than usual because of this pandemic. So what do we do when we find ourselves in the middle of a crisis, in the middle of an emergency? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 to 11 tells us what God's emergency instructions are. By the end of today's message, I don't want you to just know what God's emergency instructions are. I want you to be practicing God's emergency instructions, starting now and continuing for as long as you find yourself in a crisis or an emergency. I really want you to learn this because emergencies won't end once this pandemic ends. Emergencies for us as Christians are guaranteed. More will come. So I don't want you to just learn so that you can get through this emergency. I want you to learn so that you know what to do in every emergency from now till the time you pass on. So what are God's emergency instructions? Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 to 11 to find out. I'm going to read these verses. I'll be reading from the New International Version, which is the version we use here at the church. But I encourage you to follow along in whatever version that you have. So 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all his holy people throughout Achaia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us, as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Before we start gleaning God's emergency instructions from this passage, why don't we bow our heads in a word of prayer? Dear Lord, we thank you that you have a word for us in times like these. Lord, we pray that we would hear what you have to say this morning and believe it, and that we would be encouraged and uplifted by it. Lord, we need encouragement and comfort in these difficult times, Lord, where we face tremendous amounts of uncertainty. Lord, we're looking to you. We ask that you would speak. In your name, amen. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 1 to 11, tells us God's emergency instructions. We see the first instruction in verse 3 and 4. The first instruction God gives is to receive his encouragement. In case of an emergency, receive God's encouragement. Verse 3 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles." God comforts his people when they experience trouble. He's always ready to comfort and encourage. In case of an emergency, receive God's encouragement. This word translated comfort by the NIV, it can be translated comfort or encouragement. It also could be translated consolation. The idea is that God has just the right words for us. He comes alongside us and knows just what to say. When we're discouraged, God encourages us. When we're sad, God comforts us. When we are grieved, God consoles us. Whatever trouble we're wrestling with, God has something to say to you that will help you, because he's the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. In an emergency or a crisis or any trouble you face, God wants you to receive his encouragement. Now it says that God is the God of all comfort, who comforts us. A legitimate translation of that could be who keeps comforting us, who continually comforts us. See, God isn't just a fair weather friend. God is always there, ready to encourage every time we need it, no matter how often we need it, and no matter what we need it about. God is the God of all comfort. Verse 2 says, he is our Father. Friends, there is no concern that is too silly or petty for him to address in your life. He wants to comfort and encourage you. Now, all of us can say right now that we're facing trouble. The question is, during this time of emergency, of crisis, where are you looking for encouragement? Have you been looking to the news for encouragement? I hate to break it to you, but listening to the news is not going to give you comfort. Have you been looking to social media, your friends, to give you encouragement? No offense, but reading conspiracy theories is not going to encourage you in this crisis or emergency. In an emergency, God wants you to receive His encouragement. He is the God of all comfort. During this time, look to God for your comfort and encouragement. God's ready and willing and is giving comfort and encouragement to you. Now, how do we receive God's encouragement? I would propose that we receive God's encouragement by simply reading His word and believing it. During these past few weeks, I've been reading God's word and receiving so much encouragement. I simply read it and believe it. I want you to receive some encouragement from God right now. I'm going to read a few verses from various Psalms. So just sit back and receive God's encouragement. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Some verses from Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. I'm going to skip to the last verse. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I encourage you to read the rest of the psalm. I'm just going to read the last couple verses. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong, let your heart take courage, wait for the Lord. A couple more from Psalm 34, verses 9 and 10 of Psalm 34 say, fear the Lord, you His holy people, for those who fear Him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Verse 18 of Psalm 34, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. I hope you received some of God's encouragement as I read those verses. If you need more, I would highly encourage you, go to the Psalms, just start reading the Psalms, read through them, read multiple. I've been doing that, and I've been receiving God's encouragement. You know, in this time of crisis, in an emergency, God wants us to receive His encouragement, but He also wants us to think of others. That's why He instructs us to relay God's encouragement. In case of an emergency, relay God's encouragement. Look at verse 4 with me. A reason God comforts us is so that, middle of verse 4, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. God encourages us so that we can pass His encouragement on to others, so that we can relay His encouragement. Now here's the thing. God allows His children to share in the sufferings of Christ, so that they will experience the comfort that abounds through Christ. God allows us to experience emergencies so that we will have plenty of encouragement to share with others who are facing other emergencies, who are facing any trouble. God lets us experience troubles, crises, and emergencies so that we will relay His encouragement on to others. Do Do you know anyone who might be experiencing an emergency or a crisis right now? Of course you do. The person listening with you, the person who lives down the road, the person you work with, everyone's experiencing trouble right now. What a great time to relay the encouragement from God that you yourself have received. Relaying God's encouragement, that's the crucial piece here, though. We can comfort those in any trouble with what? With the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Don't just go to your friend and give them your advice. No. Relay God's encouragement. Share God's word with your friends. The encouragement from God that helped you, it will help others too. I would guess that your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers, your family, whoever, are more open to hearing God's word in the middle of this crisis than they have been for a long time. Everyone is experiencing trouble right now. Everyone's life is a little bit harder than it was a couple months ago. Everyone is in an emergency, which means everyone needs comfort and encouragement. If you have received encouragement from God's word, share that word with others. Relay God's encouragement. And don't just do it on social media. I'd encourage you to be bold. Share God's encouragement in person. I really suspect that most people you know, whether Christian or not, whether they are religious or not, regardless of what religion they follow, would respond positively to you if you relayed God's encouragement during this crisis. Now, in a relay race, the baton that the first runner starts with, it's the same baton that the last runner finishes with. The first runner hands the baton to the second runner, who hands it to the third, who hands it to the fourth. It's the same baton. The first runner doesn't get to the second and then switch out batons. No, it's the same one. In the same way, God wants us to relay the baton we've been given. Relay God's encouragement. Paul and Timothy, the guys who wrote and sent this letter, they had experience misfortunes or sufferings for Christ. But because of that, they had also experienced encouragement through Christ from God. It was that encouragement they relayed to the Corinthians. Now, what is interesting is that Paul and Timothy turned every circumstance into an encouraging one. This is good news because it means we have encouragement to share with others. Paul and Timothy say in verse 6, if we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. But if we are comforted, it is for your comfort. In other words, hey, if times are bad, it's for your comfort. We're going to take that bad situation, receive God's encouragement, and relay God's encouragement. If times are good, we're going to be encouraged and receive that encouragement from God and relay that encouragement onto you. Paul and Timothy knew that regardless of the circumstance they found themselves in, that they could receive encouragement from God and relay encouragement from God. God is the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. In an emergency, God wants you to receive his encouragement. Read God's word and believe it. God wants you to relay his encouragement to others. God also wants you to endure by his encouragement. This brings us to God's third emergency instruction. In case of an emergency, endure by God's encouragement. Look back at verse 6 with me. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces your comfort, produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. God's comfort helps us to endure emergencies and crises. God's comfort helps us to patiently endure the suffering that comes our way. Now, you did know that suffering comes along with being a Christian, right? I hope that's not news to you. But following Christ, it's not a walk in the park. It's grueling, it's hard, it's going to take endurance. And we have to endure through suffering. What gives us the ability to endure suffering with patience? God's encouragement. You see, the Corinthians' comfort produced in them patience and endurance. But where did the Corinthians' comfort come from? Well, it came from Paul and Timothy, but where were Paul and Timothy getting the comfort and encouragement from? Verse 4 tells us, "The God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our trials, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." God comforted Paul and Timothy, who relayed that on to the Corinthians, and God's comfort helped the Corinthians to patiently endure. God's comfort, his encouragement, his consolation helps us to patiently endure the emergencies, the crises, the afflictions, the troubles that God allows to come our way. God's encouragement gives you the ability to remain in Christ while you experience the sufferings of Christ. In emergencies, God wants you to endure by his encouragement. Friends, if you don't continually, constantly receive God's encouragement, you will not endure. But we don't need to fear failing to endure. Paul and Timothy were not afraid the Corinthians would fail to patiently endure. Look what they say in verse 7. "Our hope for you is firm." Why is Paul's hope so firm that the Corinthian believers will endure? Because, back to verse 7, "We know that just as you share in our sufferings, so you also share in our comfort." What sufferings were Paul and Timothy experienced? The sufferings of Christ. But as they were experiencing the sufferings of Christ, they are also experiencing the comfort that abounds through Christ. Thus, if you are suffering for Christ or sharing in Christ's sufferings, you are also sharing in the encouragement that abounds through Christ. Paul and Timothy told the Corinthians that just as they shared in their suffering, so they will also share in Paul and Timothy's comfort, which came from God. God's encouragement enables us to endure the emergency, the crisis, the trouble. And the harder it is to endure, the more potent God's encouragement will be for you. You can and you will endure by God's encouragement as long as you receive it. So in case of an emergency, God wants you to receive his encouragement. He wants you to relay his encouragement. He wants you to endure by his encouragement. And he also wants you to rely on his deliverance. In an emergency, God's fourth emergency instruction is to rely on his deliverance. Paul and Timothy relied on God's deliverance. We see this in verses 8 to 10. Beginning at verse 8, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia." These troubles that Paul and Timothy experienced, we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. Whew. I don't know what Paul and Timothy experienced, but it was clearly no trivial matter. This was a legitimate crisis, brutal trouble, an emergency. It was beyond their ability to endure. They despaired of life. They felt they had a sentence of death. You know, I imagine someone listening to this message resonates with those statements. You're like, yeah, I can't endure this. This is beyond my ability. I feel like I have a death sentence over my head. If that's you, listen to God's word. What does God want you to do right now? Verse 9, "But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. In your crisis, in your emergency, in your trouble, God wants you to rely on His deliverance. Verse 10, He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope that He will continue to deliver us. God wants you to rely on His deliverance in this crisis, and His deliverance alone. See, God allows the emergency, He allows the situation you find yourself in, so that you would not rely on yourself for anything, but that you would rely on God for deliverance. God has the power to raise the dead. If He can raise the dead, He can deliver you from the emergency, from the crisis you are in. In October of 2015, a freighter, it's a boat, cargo ship, was traveling from Miami to Haiti. During its travel, it got caught in a hurricane. After being pounded by relentless waves for a while, the freighter eventually lost power. The 12 sailors on board called the U.S. Coast Guard for help, activated an emergency signal to let the Coast Guard know where they were. Then they got into a lifeboat and abandoned ship. Now, if you were in a lifeboat in the middle of a hurricane, would you despair of your life? I would. But what did they do? They relied on the Coast Guard for deliverance. They looked for deliverance from the only source they could get it from. Now, thankfully, after many hours, the U.S. Coast Guard did deliver all 12 men. What we can learn from this is if we find ourselves in an emergency like the sailors, we need to stop relying on our own efforts to deliver us. And we just need to call for help. Get in the lifeboat and abandon ship. God, I need your deliverance. I need your help. Deliver me. God is letting this crisis in your life happen so that you would not rely on yourself, but on God. Okay, but how do I know? How do I know for sure that God will deliver me from the emergency I am in? How do I know God will deliver me from the present crisis? You know, because one, God has the power to raise the dead, and He's demonstrated that by raising Jesus Christ. And two, because God has already delivered you from a greater crisis, a worse emergency, a more deadly peril. God has delivered you from eternal damnation. You see, all of us, by nature, are objects of God's wrath because we sin, because we transgress God's law, we disobey Him, we rebel against Him, and because of that, we are objects of God's wrath. Now, if we remain objects of God's wrath, Judgment Day is going to come. And when that day comes, when our life on this earth ends, we will begin to experience God's wrath in hell for eternity. But God delivered us from His wrath. He transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. How did He do that? By pouring out His wrath on Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ hung on the cross, Jesus became the object of God's wrath so that we would not have to. Jesus endured God's wrath in our place. We did the crime. Jesus did the time for us. Now we know that Jesus bore all of God's wrath for our sin because when He was done, God raised Jesus from the dead. If you believe that Jesus did that for you, you've been delivered from eternal conscious punishment. You've been delivered from hell. which is a far greater crisis than anything you're facing at this moment. Friends, if you've been delivered from that far deadlier peril, God can deliver you from anything and everything you are experiencing. Here's the thing. Your current circumstance is not your biggest problem. At some point, we're going to die. Could be a pandemic, could be a car accident, could just be old age. But Judgment Day is coming. But God has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us again. So set your hope that God will continue to deliver us. Rely on God's deliverance. If you believe that God, through Jesus, has already delivered you from hell and death, why would you not trust Him to deliver you from this current emergency? 2 Corinthians 1, 1-11 helps us know what God's emergency instructions are. In a crisis, an emergency, God wants you to receive His encouragement, relay His encouragement, endure by His encouragement, rely on His deliverance. But there's one final step. God wants you to request His favor. You'll notice in verse 10 that Paul says he has set his hope that God will continue to deliver him as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. The Corinthians participated in God's deliverance of Paul and Timothy through their requests to God to put God's favor on Paul and Timothy. The Corinthians church helped in Paul and Timothy's deliverance by praying for them. Now, just as the Corinthians helped Paul and Timothy by requesting God's favor for them, so we can help others in their emergencies by requesting God's favor for them. You know, isn't that awesome? To think that God will encourage, will comfort, will deliver someone because we ask God to show favor to that person? Our prayers are effective. God hears when we pray. God will respond and grant favor on those that we ask God to. In an emergency, God wants us to request His favor for ourselves and certainly for others as well. If you are in need of comfort, request God's favor. If you know someone who needs some endurance, request God's favor. If you or someone you know need deliverance, request God's favor. As we close in prayer, request God's favor in this emergency. Dear Lord, we come before You, and God, we ask that for Your favor. Lord, all of us are in the middle of this pandemic, and it's dragging on. It's wearing us down. But Lord, more so, most of us have things on top of that we're dealing with. God, we need Your encouragement. We need to receive it. We need to relay it. We need to endure by it. Lord, we need Your deliverance. God, we're asking that You deliver, you know, our nation, our society, our province, our county, from this pandemic. Lord, as individuals, we have situations we're asking for deliverance. Lord, we're relying on You to deliver us. Lord, thank You for the hope we have. You have delivered us from a far deadlier peril than anything we're experiencing right now. And Lord, we know that even if this present crisis kills us, that's okay. Because we have a hope that is eternal and secure, that is guaranteed for us. Lord, that's what we're looking forward to. That's what we're putting our hope in. Yeah, Lord, in the meantime, for as long as You see fit to leave us on this earth, help us in this time. In Jesus' name, amen.